Hello everyone, welcome to Microsoft Research here in Redmond. We're going to talk today about PEX, an automated testing tool for .NET. My name is Pelly, I'm a developer for the PEX project.
My name is Nikola Tillman, I started the PEX project 3 years ago.
I started 2 years ago, and together we're the PEX team.
The entire PEX team.
So let's get started. I heard you wrote some code today, Nikolai.
Yes, I did. I wrote a little function that transforms a string. I think it's pretty good now, ready to ship.
So I don't want to doubt that you're a good programmer, but do you have some tests to make sure it's really that good?
No, I didn't buy tests yet. I thought PEX could help me with that. It's pretty good at figuring out all the details.
Okay. So we are here in Visual Studio, and you have a C# class library, and I see that you've written a capitalized method, so let's talk about that.
Okay, so here's a function that I wrote. It's called capitalize, and it takes a string and transforms it. Here are some examples written in the comment even, that if you take a string with lowercase words, all of the words are changed so that the first character is uppercase, and the spaces are removed. And there's some special treatment of dots, punctuation, so it would be pretty comprehensive.
So the goal of this exercise is we'd like to end up with a test suite that has a pretty good coverage and also that gives us confidence that the code is correct.
Right, and I mean, doesn't it look correct to you? I mean, look at the branches, it's so obvious.
It's late in the day, and I must say there is a local with some state and a loop, so I would have to dig a little bit more and spend some time reading to understand what kind of mess you wrote.
Even this little code is not easy to understand. And PEX is very good at looking at these corner cases, so let's try it out. Very easy to get started. I just right-click on the code, and then I can invoke PEX through a button called Run PEX Explorations.
So you mean I can right-click anywhere in the C# project and run some code?
Pretty much. It should be a public method in a public class. PEX doesn't call private methods from the outside. It only does things users can do from the outside. So let's see what happens. PEX tries different inputs on the code. It's running the code and producing a table showing interesting input-output pairs.
So when you mean it's trying input-output pairs, you mean it's actually running the code with those inputs?
Yes, it's running the code. That's how PEX can actually produce for all input values the result values.
So when you say input values, in this case, it's the value parameter.
Right. So this value column corresponds to the value parameter, and the result column corresponds to the return value.
And I see that there's also a null dereference exception.
Yeah. So sometimes there's an exceptional result, so there's a special column for that. In particular here, so apparently if we pass a null, then we get an exception.
Okay. So that table is nice. I see all kind of weird characters, but it all seems random to me.
Yeah, the strings are rather short. Some characters looks random, but I can assure you it's not. And to make a point, let me add one more case to the code. So let's say under certain conditions, the input is rejected. So let's say if value equals no. Do you want to type some random?
We'll type some, an innocent hand to type some random word.
So that's a pretty long string. So let's say it gets rejected by throwing a format exception.
Sounds good.
Now, we would need one more test case to actually cover this case. And let's see if PEX can figure it out. So I run PEX again. And we get again a table. And indeed, there's now a new row in the table for just this case. So PEX really looked at the code, all the values, all the conditions, in order to figure out how to trigger the throw statement.
So you mean that PEX actually tried to cover every branch in the code?
PEX tries to cover every branch, every statement, and comes up with values for all of these.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so this table is really representative. We can...
And we can use this table to verify in our head quickly that it's actually doing what we kind of expect.
Yeah, so in some cases it looks good, like the lowercase p is transformed into an uppercase p. We probably should fix the null issue and throw a different kind of exception, but another day.
So that's all very nice. We have this table, but we wanted to have a test suite. So how do we go from there to actually test case?
Yeah, test cases are nice, right? We can debug them, we can execute them tomorrow. So how do we do that? It's actually quite straightforward. So we can click on a row in the table, and what we get is a details view. Here it shows us that this is a stack trace of the error, and what's interesting for us now is there's a button to save tests. So that persists the test. That's what you wanted, right?
Yeah. And are you going to save the test as a text file or some database, some XML?
Good question. Actually, as code, as a unit test.
So you mean code, you mean C#?
C#. So that you can debug it, look at it, save it.
Wow, let's see that.
So what I will show you is even better. I will not just save this test, this one test, but I press Ctrl+A, mark the entire table, and now I can save all tests at once. So then when I press a button, I get a dialog where text tells me that it's going to do a lot of individual steps to save it. So it will create a test project and link it up with my product assembly, and it will reference packs and place all the generated tests in there.
So when you start a new unit test project, these are all steps you need to do?
Yeah, in particular you need to write the tests.
Yes.
So let's do it, let packs do it. So it goes through the steps, they turn green, and now we
get... So now I see that there's new things in the Solution Explorer.
Yeah, there's an entire new project.
Wow.
The test project. And it's linked up with my product code. It's also linked up with Visual Studio unit testing.
So that's the unit test framework that comes with Visual Studio?
Right.
Do you support other test framework?
PEX can be used with other test frameworks. There's a project on CodePlex where you can find PEX extensions. So you can plug in your own test framework, but there's also already a bunch of existing test framework support. And PEX can generate tests for those just as well.
Excellent. Okay.
Yeah. So let's look at the tests, right? We're talking about tests, where are they really? So one of the generated files is this nested file here, which I want to show you. It starts with a preamble telling you that don't change this code. It was generated, and PEX might regenerate it later on when the product code changes.
You've heard that, kids. Don't change the code.
Yeah, at least not at home. So in this file, there's a test class.
Okay.
It's a partial class, so I will show you more later. And it contains unit tests. So this is the Visual Studio unit test attribute, test method. When you use other test frameworks, the attribute might be different.
So in NUnit it might be test, in XUnit it might be fact.
Yeah, and then PEX knows what to put here. There's an attribute saying that PEX generated this test, and this particular test throws an exception. And each test contains some data that is passed to the product code.
So what is the relationship between that table that we saw before and now those test cases?
Good question. So here the data is null. This is the first test in the file, and that corresponds to the first row in the table. So for every row in the table, there's one unit test. And you see that the rows are numbered here, so there's a correspondence. And so when I scroll through the file, you see that all the other inputs appear here as well, including your string.
Ha!
And
so hold on right there. Let's look at capitalize9. So I see that we input some string, right?
Yes.
But I also see there is an assertion there.
Yes.
So I didn't write any assertion.
I didn't either. So all I did was doing a couple of clicks, right? I didn't write any code yet. So what happened here is that PEX calls the code with carefully selected inputs, and then PEX observes the output. And PEX generates one assertion for each observed output.
So that means if tomorrow I change your capitalized method and it changes behavior, this assert is going to trigger?
Very likely. So PEX shows all the inputs carefully to trigger all the branches. So this test suite should have high code coverage, and if you make a change, it's very likely that there's one test case that will find it.
So we've just built a regression test suite.
Yes, this is a very good regression test suite to find breaking changes in the future. So if we run it, it should today reproduce exactly the same results.
So now you've mentioned that these are test cases from the unit test framework. So that means I can now run them
exactly
as so regular test cases.
Let's do that. So I can go to the test view of Visual Studio, and in this window it lists all the unit tests that appear in source code. So this is no longer really tied to PECs. You don't need PECs for what I'm showing in the following. We are not just operating with generated unit tests.
So that's the Visual Studio test runner,
yes.
But there could be there are other runners out there that, and it would just work as well.
Yes, and you can run from the command line. But let's run them in Visual Studio. So I want to run all tests. I select all of them and execute them. Then Visual Studio runs them, and we get another view, the test results view from Visual Studio, which basically should reproduce everything that PEX figured out before, because we did change the code. There are two failures. There's the failure with the null reference and our format exception, and everything else should pass, which it does.
So that's really important. That means when you find an issue, you also provide a test case to reproduce it.
What do you mean by find an issue?
Well, there is red, so we triggered an exception here.
Right. For every case that PEX finds, there is a test case.
Okay.
So this shows us how the test suite behaves. I was talking about code coverage before, and we can look at code coverage in Visual Studio. That is one of the features that Visual Studio provides for unit testing.
Let's take a look.
So
hopefully it's very high.
Hope so. Let's look at the code coverage results view through this button. And what we see here is that in my product code, I have 100% code coverage. So all 26 blocks were covered. So this is, I mean, it doesn't get higher regarding code coverage.
So can we see that in the source code, actually?
Yes, I hope so. So there's a coloring feature in Visual Studio, which I can enable through this button. And when I go back to the source code, what I see is that all the lines are now colored in a friendly color. It's not red. So this indicates, when we wouldn't cover a statement, it would be red. So we can see exactly what PEX did, where we might have to write more test cases when PEX couldn't cover something, or maybe we have dead code.
So that's all nice and blue now.
Yeah, this is, doesn't get better.
We haven't written any assertions, so how do we know it's actually capitalizing the string?
Right, so we have just looked at the table. I mean, I didn't write any test code at all, and we like parts of the table, but actually, I mean, we know that there are errors. There was a null reference issue. Here we have a format exception. Is it really expected? So let's write some test code to make statements about what the code is really supposed to do besides looking at the table.
So so we're going to show you now how to modify the parameterized test to add assertions and make the test more interesting.
Paley mentioned an interesting word, a parameterized test. What does Paley mean? Let me show you. Here are the tests again that PEX generated. And before, what I told you was that the test calls the product code. Actually, it doesn't. It calls another function called, which we call the parameterized unit test. So let me go to the definition of what is being called. It's another function in the same test class. That's why we had a partial test class.
So
and this function then calls the product code. So it's the generated unit test, calls the parameterized unit test, calls the product code. This parameterized unit test was generated by PEX.
So it's parameterized unit test because it's just a unit test with parameters.
Exactly. It's in my test project, it calls the product code, and now I should write more assertions in here. So it's really a unit test, but it also takes a parameter, that's why it's parameterized.
And who provides the parameters?
PEX. So there are other test frameworks like MVUnit where you have row tests, that's very similar. There are data-driven tests, for example, in the Visual Studio unit test framework. And there you have to provide the inputs. You have to say use a random generator, or you have to give 10 values. With PEX, you don't. That's what PEX is for. PEX is a test input generator that generates very clever inputs that go at all the corner cases.
Okay. So let me tell you what I think capitalize should do. Capitalize is a normalizing function. So if you apply capitalize twice, to a string, the second time it shouldn't change the string.
Right, so that would be a good test, right?
Okay, so can we write that as a parameterized test?
Yeah, let's do that. So to get started with the parameterized test, I can use a code snippet. And let's call it capitalize twice. And let's see. So you say that when we call capitalize once with some string, and so I have to pick a string, right?
So does the string matter?
Not really.
In fact, it should be true for any string. So maybe
yes,
we can put it as a parameter.
Right, that's why it's a parameterized test. So let's add a parameter for the string. So for any string, it should be true that when we capitalize it once, and then, if I understood it correctly,
you capitalize again,
yes,
it should be equal to first.
Then it should be equal for any string.
For any string.
No matter how mean the string is. Okay, let's see if PEX can help us, because I'm not really sure how many inputs we will need. We really would have to understand the code, right?
So how do I run PEX here?
Actually,
in the same way we did.
It's just the same way. So you can run PEX on your product code and on parameterized tests. And PEX will find inputs that try to break the assertion or to achieve high code coverage. So I click on the button.
So you mentioned PEX will try to break the assertion.
Yes.
Why? Does it know it's an assertion? Or
PEX doesn't really know about assertions, but if you think about how the assertion is implemented, it's basically a branch. If not condition, then fail. And PEX tries to cover all branches and all statements. So PEX will try to go along the false branch where it will find the failure statement.
Wow. And also that means that works also for debug assert. If I put assert in my product
yes,
code, PEX is also going to try to break it.
And if you write your own asserts, that works just as well. So let's look at the results from PEX. Again, we first get a table, and immediately we can see that there are issues. So PEX found inputs that violate the assertion.
So I see the assert failed, and we passed in a dot, but I'm not really sure what's happening here.
Yeah,
I remember taking a glimpse at your code, but is there a way I can debug this test case or step through the code?
Very good question. I want to debug it too. So when we click on the row, again, we see details, and there are some buttons below the details. So we don't have to save the test anymore, because we already had a test project and PEX saved it already. And now we can go to the test code. So this is the code for capitalize twice that triggers the assertion failure for a dot, and that's what we want to debug, right?
Yes.
Because we want to
but I don't want to step through the entire run, so why don't we set a breakpoint where the exception occurs?
Let's go to the place where the exception occurs. For that, I can just double-click on the row. That takes me to the topmost stack frame where the exception occurs, and here it's an assertion failure, and then I can set a breakpoint here. Set breakpoint. And then I can go back to the test code, go to, or I can immediately go into the debugger. We have a nice debug button here that makes it really easy to debug.
And that's one of the great advantages of saving to code, is that we can reuse the infrastructure of your unit test framework to launch the debugger or run the test or anything like that.
Just think about it. If you had a random test generator, first of all, is it actually reproducible? And maybe you need 1,000 values until you hit the failure. And here we have tests for each value. Okay, and actually there are not many tests. We have just have 10 different tests here.
Wow.
Yeah. Of course, PEX doesn't throw a lot of random values at the code, but really just those that we need. Okay, but back to debugging. So I press the debug button. And now we break into the debugger, and we are live. We can actually look at the values.
So that's underscore, that looks good.
First is underscore, second is empty.
Empty, that doesn't look good.
And this all came from an input which was a dot.
So this is all mysterious, and we'll leave debugging that as an exercise for you, Nikolai. And I think this can conclude our demo about PEX. So what we've seen today, we've seen how to start from code that you've already written to generate a regression test suite using PEX, and now how to add assertions to your parameterized unit test to actually verify more correctness properties about your code.
Download PEX now. Try it out.
And if you have questions, we have a forum on DevLabs, so don't hesitate to ask the questions. And thank you for listening.
Thank you. See you next time.